Thank you for joining us on the Block Church Podcast, where we are reviving our city one block at a time. We believe a timely word from God could change your life forever, and we pray that this message speaks to you today.
Well, hello, everybody. Let's take a moment. Let's welcome all of our locations and everyone who joins us online. And wasn't that an amazing story of an incredible father and leader in our church? Grateful for her and his life. And man, God is so good. I'm so grateful for the vastness and the diversity in our church, in age especially. I have learned so much from the young people and people older than me alike. I said that very politically correct, didn't I? Anyway, I'm grateful. I want to wish everybody who is a father, happy Father's Day. And especially all those who've stepped in and stepped up and been spiritual fathers, mentors, and leaders, we also wish you a happy Father's Day. I want to celebrate specifically in just a moment, but I want to let you know of something we're doing on July 7th. Everybody say July 7th. All right. So July 7th, we're actually taking a break. We're calling it halftime. So twice a year as a church, particularly as a church plant, we try to shut down and take a break, give all of our amazing volunteers a rest. So we usually do it the week between Christmas and New Year, and then we're going to try it this year. We always did a picnic, but it was so hot. I'm so thankful no one died the past several years, but we're going to actually pause. We're going to practice Sabbath, and we're going to not have church in the morning on July 7th. We're encouraging you, go support, celebrate, and visit another church in our city that day. Or sleep in. There'll be a sermon online that you can enjoy that I'll preach about rest, calling it halftime. We'll do a little bit of worship. And then at night, we're going to come together in the Northeast for a worship night. So it'll be a special, amazing night, and I know many travel on July 4th weekend, but if you're around, join us. Really a night of an experience with God where we can linger. So that's what's happening. Nothing in the morning, just a worship night. Shouldn't say just, but a worship night at night, July 7th. Everybody got that? Awesome. All right, let me do this. Every location, every man, male, above the age, 16 above, would you stand to your feet? We have a gift for you. We'd also love to clap and celebrate you. We've got some beard balm for you. And listen, ladies, let your men grow beards, okay? It's very important for their development, and if you can't grow a beard, we will pray that God works a miracle in your life. Hey, gentlemen, stay standing every location. If you tried to sit, stand back up. I got to pray over you, all right? I want to pray over you, every 16 and older male. Man, we want to cover you. If there is someone next to you, a lady, a child, man, would you just reach out, touch them, or put your hand towards them, and I want to cover our men today. I'm so grateful for men of God, leaders in our city, our community, and our world. I'm proud of you, men. I'm thankful for you. What we face today is unique and different, but you are equipped to conquer. And I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, over every man in this place. I thank you that you approve of them and that you love them and that you're pouring clarity over their identity now. I pray that you would bless them and strengthen them and give them the grace to walk their journey and run and lead. I pray that in their own unique personality, God, give them the grace to be what you've called them to be. I thank you, God, that you're not done with them yet. They're still breathing. They're still dreaming. They're still working. I pray for new ideas, peace, and grace to overcome and be victorious. I thank you for a godly dignity and integrity. I pray for a godly strength to war against the enemy. God, bless our men more than they've ever experienced before. Thank you, God, for what you're doing and how they're leading. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Come on, let's give it up, every location. All right, so I want to show you my tool set today, and thank you, Miguel. Happy Father's Day to you. So I have a drill. I'm pretty good at this. I use this on my dog. I have, what else do I have here? This is impressive, right? I have a saw now. Okay, this is really manly for when I cut trees down and in my city home. And I also have a screwdriver that only works on particular items. These are my tools. I'm proud of it. And I want you to be proud of me that I brought my tools to church today. This is all I have. These tools right here. Except the other week, and Miguel, come help me. Take these from me. God bless you. Okay, thank you. The other week, there was some grass forming in my back little yard space, if you will. Okay, and so I was like, we're gonna go get a weed whacker. Okay, I'm gonna go, okay, because I'm a man and I lead the charge for all things exterior and house reno development. Okay, that's what I do. So I went and got a weed whacker, and I put the thing together. There were like two pieces to it. And I clipped it on. And I oversaw the administration of my wife and the two young men who live in my house to weed whack. And also to cut down some of the bushes. I led. I administrated. I organized. I facilitated. But the horrible part of this story, the shameful part of this story, is somebody stole my weed whacker from the back of my house. Who would steal a weed whacker? Like, why? And if you're gonna steal a tool, please don't take a tool from me. I need every tool I can get to prove my manhood. I'm like, if you took my weed whacker and you're listening to this message, I pray God whacks you. Like, take it from another guy who's got a lot of tools, but me? Like, God, what are you saying? Somebody stole my weed whacker. And this is why I call myself a missionary here in the city of Philadelphia. See, you don't have to deal with that if you're listening to this from the suburbs or a rural community, okay? No one's taking your weed whacker. They're taking mine. You can give 84321. Thank you. You know what I'm grateful for? Weed whacker or not, my wife still loves me. My dad still approves of me. And they respect me in different ways. But you know, I think that particularly for men or fathers, I think we're misunderstood a lot of times. And I think culture and society may have painted a picture of what it really means to be a man, what it really means to be a father. And I think sometimes the pressures even are more than we can bear, but we'd never communicate it. We wouldn't tell you. And then we might act out, or we might run away, or we might not know what to do. But can I tell you today that God loves you, and that our Father God approves of you. No matter if you've spent 30 years in jail, or you've missed the mark, you have a father saying, I love you and I approve of you today, right now. Yeah. Now, Mother's Day, I looked at the comparison briefly that we spend billions, that's with an S, plural, billions with a B, more dollars on Mother's Day than we do on Father's Day. I'm salty about that. And that's why I'm preaching about this on week 3 of Salty. Because I want to make Father's Day great again. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Some of you are so mad at me for saying that. But I just couldn't help it. It just fits so perfectly. Listen to what Mark Twain said. Now, Mark Twain said this. He said, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned. As we mature or mature, we start to see the world a little bit different. Would you agree? And as we journey with God, we might begin to understand and see him differently. What we see of, think of, or view of God today might be completely different than how we view, see, receive, and accept God in a few years as we stay in the game. And I want to encourage you, many of us have difficulties connecting with or understanding who God is when we talk about Him as a Father. And God is a lot of things, okay? He's spectacular, He's creator, He's miracle worker, He's way maker, He's friend, He's savior. He's all of those things, but He's also Father. And what I want to do today is I want to help you understand that. I want to help you reframe your mind around who Dad is, who your Father God is, and even how to navigate some of the difficulties with your earthly father. I have a tall task. But if you would lean in, I believe that there might be some healing today in your life, some freedom today in your life, and you might be able to worship differently when you leave this place or stop listening to this message. So I want to title my message today, Mad at Dad No More. Mad at Dad No More. Salty week 3. This is why I felt like it was perfect to fit in this. And you might be sitting here today saying, I got no daddy issues. But you might not know how to connect with God as your father. Or you might be sitting here today and your father's passed on and you've had issues that are unresolved. Or you might have disappointment. Whatever your situation is, I believe that we can walk away from here today mad at Dad no more. Fully understanding that we have a good father. So I want to answer 4 questions today. This will be very informational. It will be less preachy, but I believe it will be inspirational. But you got to lean in. You got to get your thinking caps on. You have to open up your heart so that you might hear and sense the love of the Father. Are you with me so far? If you are, say yes every location. So here's the first question I want to ask. Why is God called Father? Why is God called Father? In John 5, Jesus refers to himself as the Son. Okay? He also talks of his Father as reference to God. So why is God called Father? Well, because it's who he is. Well, I know that answer isn't good enough, and I'll explain it further. But we have something we call the Trinity. Anybody heard of the Trinity before? The Trinity is God in 3 unique characteristics, 3 persons. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. All God, but unique characteristics, reaching, loving, wrapping you in. That's really what the Trinity is. And so when we look at the uniqueness of God the Father in the Old Testament, God references Israel when he was rescuing them out of Egypt. He says, Israel is my firstborn son. Essentially, he calls Israel his son. Now, Galatians 4, verse 4 says this, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, but under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, which means Daddy God, and we'll get into that shortly. So you are no longer a slave, come on somebody, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Essentially painting a picture for us that we are not slaves and servants alone. We are certainly servants, and it is our joy to serve, but we are not left there in servanthood alone, and we are certainly not slaves. We are sons and daughters. And what that means is you are heirs, meaning you have access to everything that God has promised. Which, if you look at the picture of this, and even the prodigal son, for instance, look at how the son asks for his inheritance from his father. His father carries all things, and then he releases all things. It is a picture of us looking at the Father and having access. He is our Father. He holds every good thing, every blessing. He is our Father. When we call God the Father, we are using both symbol, which is metaphor, and analogy, which is familiarity, and an illustrative similarity. So many people, you might be a feminist today, You might be somebody who looks at the biblical writers and say they're men. You could have a lot of different dispositions, and you might disagree and say, well, God's not a man. And in a sense, you're right. God isn't a man. He isn't a woman. He isn't necessarily a sex, if you will. God is God. So that can be confusing because, but he's father, but he's not. And so we think of it as, but at the same time, in the midst of all this, he is also father because of his characteristics and what he does. Let me explain further. So let me give you an example of birth and creation for a moment. Okay. For there to be a child, there absolutely must be a woman. There also must be a man. A woman, a mother, is nurturing in nature. Okay, nurturing. A woman houses the child in her body. A woman nurtures it, feeds it, right? It forms, it grows under the care of the mother. But without the source, there can be no child. Does everybody understand that? A father is an initiator, a source, a seed for there to be life. So when we communicate God as the Father, we're seeing him and communicating him as the source for life. Now, whether you believe in microevolution or that God created everything and it keeps going, it really doesn't matter, okay? At the end of the day, God spoke, he initiated, he is the source. He is your source, and he is my source, which means he is the Father. He is the initiator. He is the source. He is the source for my resource. He is the source for my hope. He is the source for my future and for my dreams. He is the source. It all comes back to the Father. It's why we call him Father. Jesus references God as Father over 150 times. I read in the Gospels, I read this morning, even 166 times, one individual counted. So why do we call God the Father? Because Jesus calls him Father. Because the scriptures allude to the fact that he is the source. He is the seed in which we live and breathe and have our being. We view him as a father, a creator, a provider. Does everybody understand that? Yeah. So that's what we call him, Father. But why, the second question today would be, and by the way, let me just say, you should study this on your own. You can't take my word for it alone in 30 minutes. In fact, my goal today is to initiate hope, freedom, healing, education. But you've got to go get this stuff, particularly if you disagree with it. Number two, why is calling God the Father difficult for so many? Now, this is a challenging thing because it absolutely is difficult for many people. Let me explain. I heard a story of a young man. He was in third grade at the time, and his earthly father passed away. When his earthly father passed away, people would come up to him at the funeral and say, "Son, God is father to the fatherless." Sometimes when you're in pain, thanks, God bless you. You know, or they would say, you're the man of the house now, right? The kid said, "I knew God was the powerful creator and the source of wisdom, truth, and love, but he wasn't going to be there to help a kid with his history homework or to throw a football around. The architect of snowflakes and solar systems wasn't known for taking 10-year-old boys out to breakfast to talk to them about sex." And so he's struggling to identify, how is God my father? And this is difficult for so many. Now, I would push back on him because I believe that the Bible has a lot to say about life, living, sexuality, and all of those things. But at the same time, you can understand where the boy's mindset was, yes? Did you know that this was a stat from a few years ago, but 23.6% of U.S. children, that's 17.4 million, lived in father-absent homes several years ago. So people have a difficulty connecting God as their father because of abusive or even absent fathers. or disappointing or disapproving fathers. Right? I mean, that's the reality. Would you agree with that? Okay, now I'm so grateful for all the men who are here today beating statistics or we're celebrating you today. But I'm also helping paint a picture for those of us who have a difficulty connecting the dots. A child or an individual, psychology would tell us, feels that they might have to succeed in sports or education or make a lot of money to gain the approval of their father. And so some of that could be natural, some of that's true, some of that's not true, but the word father brings up bad memories of abuse or trouble or disappointment or lack of connection or I don't know how to connect, all of those different things, but that's not who God the Father is. He is a welcoming God. He is an approving and loving God. He is not a distant father. He is here right now. And was with that boy in the midst of pain and sitting across the table whether he thought so or not. And so you have to understand that no matter what you've been through or what you've experienced or how you've been disappointed or how you've been hurt, that is not the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father is to be with you and walk with you and share with you and care for you in the midst of the difficulty of misunderstanding Him. And here's the best part. Even when we don't understand God our Father, He still doesn't allow that to get in His way of not loving you to the fullest. I love that about God. Even when you have misconceptions or a lack of communications or disappointments, or all of these different, when you have all this, and when you're frustrated or even mad at Him for not fully understanding it all, or mad at your earthly father, whatever it is, God is still there and still loves you. And your anger or your hurt or even your sin is not keeping Him from sitting across the table from you. Right, I saw this the other day. You've probably seen it, this meme, this idea of what is religion. You know, I don't want to tell my father I'm going to get in trouble. But what relationship with God is, what Christianity is I'm in trouble, so I need to call my father. Yeah. Yeah. That really is a beautiful picture of what it means for Him to be our Father, God. But the question is why is calling God the Father difficult for so many? Well, absolutely, because of all of our human experiences, sometimes it's difficult for us to connect our spiritual experience. For instance, every time we are in worship services, like today, we're singing or we're clapping or we're connecting the dots and we tell you to worship God, the Father, or your Father, we might even hear it in songs. You might have heard, oh, He's a good Father, it's who You are, da-da-da. You know that song? Right? I don't remember any of the other words. Oh, yeah, You're perfect in all of Your ways. Okay, that one. And so, but like, some of you are like singing that going, You're a good Father. And like, you're going, like, I'm lifting my hands and I'm singing to Father, to Dad. Like, I'm not fully connecting this. Because, like, I'm not going to do that with my earthly father. Like, what if you were out to coffee or you're sitting with your dad and all of a sudden you just cleared the table and you're like, You're perfect in all of Your ways. And you're crying and, like, that would be awkward. No dad wants that. Let's keep from a lot of crying if you can, especially on Father's Day, okay? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, how do we connect that? Here's how you have to think of it as you're singing and connecting. How do you connect with God, your Father? You ready for this? We worship God for who He is. He's God. He is Creator. He is glorious. He is majesty. He is wonderful. We thank God for what He's done. He is our Father. He is our provider. He is our source. He cares for us and forgives us and leads us. So we love God because He is both the inconceivable God and flawlessly tangible Father. Do you understand the significance of that statement right here? When we worship, we're going, God, I worship you for who you are because you are marvelous and you are inconceivable and you are God Almighty and you created the heavens and the earth and you love me and you cared for me and you sent Jesus for me. I mean, you are God. And I sing to that and I cry to that and I worship to that and I lift my hands to that and I lay before you for that and you are my God and I am your creation. But also in my worship, I know how to switch gears and say, I thank you for being a good father. I'm grateful and I thank you and I offer thanksgiving just as any father would want to hear on a Christmas morning. Thanks, Dad. Like at the end of the day, like Santa had a little bit to do with it, but I had a lot more to do with it. Like every father wants a thank you. Right, an acknowledgement that, like, I'm your dad and I got your back. Do you understand how this works? Like, all the time, like my son, he, like, wants something. He is obsessed with cheese right now. Cheese, please, cheese. And I'm like, and so I'll cut up the cheese stick or whatever, and I'll give it to him, and I'll be like, bro, you follow that up with thank you. I will wait. This is your time to eat, not mine. And it's just like, hey, I bought you this cheese, bro. Hey, you know the TV you're crying to watch? I paid $14.99 or whatever Netflix is charging this month. Next month, it'll be $27.99. And the month after that, $35. And the month after that, $45. But just remember who paid for it as you're watching. Now, that's obviously a little bit of a petty attitude that needed to be in. But you understand what I'm saying. You know, there's something powerful when we say thank you. Like, it just meant, thank you. Okay, you want another cheese stick? Great. You understand what I'm saying. So as we worship and as we gauge, as we connect with God, we're worshiping because he is God. He's marvelous. He's majestic. But he's also Father who provides and who cares and forgives. And when we're in trouble, we call on him. It's thankfulness. So why is God called Father? I think we covered some of that. Why is calling God the Father difficult for so many? It's obvious. It's separating the earthly experience and connecting the spiritual experience, knowing that God's near no matter who isn't. And then number three, what are the implications of this? Are you following along, by the way? I know this isn't a preachy, screamy message, and it's more heady, it's more intellectual, and I hope you're experiencing some revelation to this. But there are implications to this. In Romans 8:15, let's read this, for you did not receive, we're repeating, the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Yes. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. It's that picture that we don't have to live in fear because no matter what we're walking through or what we're experiencing, Daddy God is here to catch us. Abba is an intimate term of endearment. So it's the Aramaic word for daddy or papa. It's the least formal word for a father. So it's the word that a small child would use as he jumps up into his father's lap. He says, Daddy. The Jews in the Old Testament, the early writers, the individuals following the early scriptures, or those who are experiencing Jehovah God and Yahweh for the first time, they were not referencing God as Abba or as Papa. It's Jesus who initiates this language. Now stay with me here. Let me teach for a moment. You have to understand that way back then there were a lot of other false gods, the little G's. Okay? Sorry. Dad joke. and to use language that intimate with other gods, it might reference sexual abuse or some form of sexuality in their context. So they would use formal language to make sure that there was no confusion, that God was not a sexually abusive or confusing idol or God. But when Jesus came along, Jesus knew him intimately. Jesus knew God because he was God and he was with God and he's the Son of God. And so he knew the character of God, that that's not who God is or was. And so he felt comfortable using that kind of language because he knew him as Father. And what Jesus does is so remarkable, and it freaked the Jewish people out. It freaked the religious people out because they're looking at him going, man, you are weird. You're calling God the Father, the Creator. You're calling him Daddy God. How do you do that? And Jesus takes it a step further, and he welcomes them all in by praying the Lord's Prayer. How does he begin the Lord's Prayer? Our Father. So Jesus doesn't just go, Daddy God, my God. He says, our God, our Father, which means that you and I can have an intimate relationship with our Father, reflective and similar to Jesus, that no matter what we've experienced, gone through, or happening right now, or what our human experience was like, we can have that moment where we can climb up in the lap of Daddy God and lean back on his chest and rest. And I know that that could be challenging for some, but if you understand the implication of this, that you are approved of and that you are loved and that you are cared for and that God is with you and that he's cheering you on like a dad on the sidelines, not sitting on the bleachers, but standing and coaching and shouting and loving and singing. I get it. I understand this is hard, but it's the truth. We have to find a way to separate our disappointments and understand the desires of our Daddy God. I have been implementing time out now in my relationship with my son. It seems to work better than any other form. He hates time out. So for him to stop and pause his day, huge inconvenience. Discipline is about inconvenience, I'm learning. And so he'll go over there, and I'm counting to 30, and I'm trying to teach him how to count in the middle of it, you know, like I'm just trying to double it up. Sometimes I'll throw in some Spanish. Uno, dos, three, four, five, six. That's about all I got, you know. Like, man, we're going to get one and two down. But, like, you know, at the end of the timeout, what I do is I lean over, and I repeat, like, hey, do you know what you did? Like, you can't yell, or you shouldn't yell, and please stop giving your food to Phil. He doesn't need anymore. That's my dog. And, like, no smacking of the, like, when you're done, we are not your servants. You are my yard servant. That's who you are. I'm like, I'm just trying to show. And then at the end, I'm like, do you understand? And then I lean in, and we hug each other. And most of the time, he wraps his arms around my neck. And I'm just like, I just fall out, you know? Like, and I'm just like this is the picture. I'm not a perfect father by any means, and I hate to be a hero in any story. But, like, the image that I get here is, like, this is the picture of God. That, like, God's discipline is for your benefit. And he's standing there in the midst of your discipline. Listen to me, stay with me. Stay with me. He's standing there in the middle of your discipline or your challenge or trouble, and he's literally like, okay, I'm counting to 30. I'm with you. Like, this too shall pass. But the second it's over, you're going to feel my arms and my love because I'm your Daddy God. And anything that you need, I provide. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all, somebody say all grace, which means every favor and earthly blessing, Father, source, initiator, come in abundance to you so that you may always under all, somebody say all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything. That's another word for all, being completely self-sufficient in him. And have an abundance for every good work and act of charity. God's not looking at the past. He's not looking at your mistakes. He's saying, all now. Wrap your arms around me, and I'll wrap mine around you. And I love what Tim Keller writes. He says, the gospel is this. Stay with me. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. Is that good news today? In other words, your Father is extremely relational. He's entirely forgiving. He's available. He's approachable. He's understanding of your circumstances. He empathizes with our grief. He knows loss. He knows pain. He longs and looks to restore you. He desires to provide good things and utilize your gifting uniquely for his kingdom. He's never left you, and he will never leave you. He will discipline you to direct you. The implications of God as your Father are so magnificent. But will you wrap your arms around him and accept him as Daddy God despite your earthly disappointments? And I just need two more minutes. And I want to answer one more question. How can I reframe God the Father and not be mad or salty at my earthly dad? You may have not had the earthly father you wanted, but you do have the heavenly father you need. Listen to what Max Lucado says. This is beautiful. He says, God's feeling for us, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If God had a wallet, your photograph would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring. Come on, ladies. He gives you the sunrise every morning. And whenever you want to talk, he's willing to listen. He could live any place in the earth or in the universe, but he chooses to reside in your heart. Face it, friend, he's absolutely crazy about you. You've got a God who's loving, not controlling. You've got a father who's close, not distant. You've got a father who's crazy about you. And I've got to really move quick, and I'm just going to close with this. There's a young man in our church and really, really struggled with a bunch of things. And one of the main things he struggled with was sleep apnea. Could not sleep for years. Most of his life struggled. And I challenged him and pressed him on an issue. And I said, I think forgiveness is one of your main issues. He grew up with a very abusive, disappointing, challenging father. And he went on a fast. He did 40 days, and he juiced for 40 days. And he looked amazing after it, and I was mad in my heart because I told him to do it. He said, during these 40 days, I asked God to help me forgive my dad. And he said, what happened after is I saw over 30 miracles in my life, including my sleep apnea being completely healed. He said, 30 miracles. Stuff that wasn't happening or wasn't a possibility. But because I forgave, I experienced the goodness. And for some, listen to me, I'm closing with this. For some, seeing, embracing, and experiencing God as Father, to really know God as your father, it starts with forgiving or releasing your earthly father for missing the mark. You don't have to figure it out or do it all today. It could be a process, but I dare you and I encourage you to start. Why? Because John 1:16, for from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. So might we then offer some grace upon grace, even to a man who's just a man who might miss the mark, because God the Father offered grace to you, to you. I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm thankful for you. Our best is ahead because we're starting the transformation and healing right now. You believe that in Jesus' name? Come on, every location. Would you stand to your feet? Will you bow your head? Would you close your eyes?
Thank you so much for tuning in on the Block Church Podcast. We'd love for you to join us on our mission to see our city revived one block at a time. You can go to theblockchurch.org to see our locations, service times, and ways to give so that we together can see our city revived.